It's good to be here today, right? Amen. Raise your hand if you're here. All right, we got a quick crowd. I like that. Well, I'm going to share a little testimony about my life. I know a few of y'all, and most of you I don't know. There's two services, so you don't always see everybody, but I can see a lot more faces today. It's good to be here. I always say it's always good to be in the kingdom. Good to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But my name, like I said, my name is David Joyner. I used to work for Travis County Sheriff's Department. I was there 20 years, and then the Lord laid it on my wife and my heart to quit, and we went on full-time at the church where I was pastor there full-time for probably 10 or 11 years. I was a member there for 20 years. So I'm an emotional guy, so it was hard when I knew that he wanted us to leave all the families and the kiddos and all that. And now I work for, thought I was done with it. I'm back at Liberty Hill Police Department now, so I guess I'm in my prime, and I didn't know it, huh? And I'm married to my beautiful bride up front. She doesn't like a lot of attention, so I'll probably pretty much not point a whole lot at her today. For 30 years, which is about 10,958 days with 8 leap years in there. And about 180, you know, because we were married on May 18th, so another half a year since then. Got two daughters. My oldest one's here today. I love my girlies. They're 19 and 18. They've been a super blessing to me and my wife. Rough childhood, probably have a lot of commonality with some people. There's always variances. Early years were pretty rough. Had an abusive father to my wife, to my mother. He was a raging alcoholic. So up to like 3 or 5, I was probably about 5, I was in that environment. My memories are jumping on his back trying to help my mother when he was hurting her. So got out of that, got away from that, and stepdad was a mean guy too. He was more mean to us, to the kiddos, focused on not liking us very much, so he was physically abusive to us. And, you know, the enemy never cares what kind of bondage you're in as long as you're in some kind of bondage. My bondage was I hated his guts. And I would hear sermons and, you know, forgive and let it go, forgive and forget. And I was always in my mind thinking, yeah, I'll forgive everybody, but I really want a piece of that guy when I get older. Well, I was doing well, right? So that's just where I was for a long time. You know, and something finally broke when a friend of mine talked to me to let me know really about God's love and God's forgiveness. So then I was able to say his name when I prayed. You know, I never knew where he was anymore, but God released that hatred from my heart. So when you hear people say, just let it go, it's not always that easy, right? Sometimes it takes a while. It takes certain things to step into your life and stuff like that. And I never want to ever forget that most of my years were with my grandmother that were great years. You know the grandma types, right, that are the good ones that take care of you. She raised her 6, raised us 5, had to discipline me the most probably because I, you know, was just her favorite. What am I getting a whipping for? I don't know, son. It's okay. He had a yardstick that I think it was like 10 feet long or something, but she could smack me with that thing. Come here. So I got to live there with her until I got married, which is a long time. So most people say, don't say that in front of my kids, you know, which... Because we've been married 30 years, and back then you could get married when you were 12, so if you're good with math, that would put me at 42. So, you know, visiting around, we visited every church in the area. We didn't feel like the Lord called us to any of them, and then we came here last but not least, and then the Lord just laid it on our heart, and we're like, wow. We both walked out in awe, you know, after hearing the worship and hearing Pastor Bob, and, we just knew that we were called to be here. And it didn't take long to confirm that. And so the place we left, and now we're here, and we're just honored to be here. And I'll tell you what helped is the loving people, the loving kindness when you walk through the door and, you know, people hugging and loving you, and you can feel the power of the love. And you feel that with Pastor Bob and Tammy too, don't you? You know, we come hurting and wanted to be undercover, wanted to lay low and get healed for a while, and didn't work out quite like I thought, but I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful to be up here. And again, I thank Pastor Bob and Miss Tammy. I know this pulpit is guarded by him, and so I'm honored for him to let me speak here today. So let's go in prayer. Lord, we're very grateful. We thank you for the power of your love, the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I know there's always so much you want to do in our lives. So I pray today that you would speak to us through your word here. I know you've already spoken to our hearts through worship just and the remainder of the service. Just be with us, Lord God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about how our minds get sometime. You ever just been going through life and you're just carrying a load of whatever, you know, and you can't get over it and you can't get healed and you're tired, you're exhausted, you're fatigued, or or you had that grudge that I held and you want a piece of somebody. You know, it's funny because when I was a young guy, I was going through karate, and I think they had you sign something like you'd only do karate for good. So I signed it, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get him one day. He'll try to shake my hand. He'll do this, but I'll do this and do that. You know, what I remember most from karate is basically the noise. Whoa! You know, I still got that part down. But, you know, the rest of the moves, I don't know. When the pressure's on, we'll find out. But I am pretty quick, so I can, you know, run to fight for another day sometimes. But I'm talking, the title is the power of a carefree mind. And I know that our minds get overwhelmed sometimes. And when I say us, I'm talking about me as well, because I've carried stuff sometimes for months, for years, as a kid, then as an adult, then insecurities kick in and people treat you a certain way and you have flashbacks. I forgive my stepdad many years ago, but the enemy always wants to bring that back to my mind, certain things like that, to try to get me to re-hate, if that would be a word. So the cares of life can make us powerless, and I believe in our hearts we all want to walk with the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in freedom. You know, I hear it in songs, and I read it in the Word, and I know that God, in His heart, He wants us to be so free and just enjoy our walk and our calling and be a blessing to others. You know, cares drain us of the potential of the mind. So if we're overwhelmed with lots of cares, it's hard to focus on the things of the kingdom sometimes. Any of you ever felt like that way? Like, man, I know I need to read Scripture. I know I need to study. I know I need to do this. I know I need to worship. A lot of things we know, and then we're bogged down by life, whether it be debt like we heard about this morning, whether it be a relationship, whether it be any past things. I know God wants to get us free from that. You know, and it can come from many things. It can come from idolizing money and or pleasure. Do we live in a world where pleasure is at the top of the list for everybody? You know, all things are go, and people just want to be find their way to be happy when true happiness is through King Jesus, right? So focusing on someone else to change. I had a big list, man. I can come up with a list of a whole bunch of people that need to change. But my list ought to be a list of one, right, for me to change. If I'm worried about other people changing, then I'm never going to be a happy guy. I mean, I can pray about those things and people that I care about, but if that's my focal point, then I'm losing my focus. Paul calls us to have a carefree mind. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't want to pray about that. It's not really a big deal. Anybody ever heard that? You know, God says it's a big deal. He says, pray about everything. That means small, big things, whatever they might be. May not be big to you or big to me, but or small or whatever, but God wants us to pray about everything, and He wants us to be thankful as well. I will tell y'all a funny story. I was carefree one time. I don't know if there was a skating ring. It was Playland Skating Ring. It was in Austin by Burnett Road. We used to go there as kids because we lived in the apartments for a while over there that were close to it. So I'm over there skating one day, I was about 13 at the time, and some guy rolls up to me that's about 18, and he looks at me and he says, do you know Carl Joyner? I said, yeah, that's my brother. He punches me right in the face and knocks me down. So all that karate I went through, it did me absolutely no good. I hit the floor and I was like, oh. And then when I got my great wits about me, I thought, I am getting even with that guy. Where is he? Like one good hit to the ground wasn't enough, right? So I saw him playing foosball over there, right? And so me and this guy that I was with, I said, I'm going to go buy a big drink and I'm going to douse him with the soda as we're skating by. So I throw it on the back of his head and his neck, and I get like a foot or two away, and the guy tackles me, takes me to the ground, and he's just getting ready to start pummeling some more on me, you know, with all those skills that I got, and some guy pulls him off of me, and so I had a carefree mind that day, but I kind of changed my attitude a little bit on how to answer people, because I see a lot of businesses all the time, you know, or go to a lot of businesses, and people always ask me, like, they see my name, they're like, is Carl Joyner your brother? And I'm thinking, I know you're 70, ma'am. What was the question? I think right leg back, defensive guarding stance. Huh. Or I make my noise. Whoa. What was the question? So I'm going to have 3 points today. I thought that really related, but it may not have related to what I thought it did. I had it somehow hooked to it. My first point is we must trust instead of tremble. So we must trust instead of being scared, instead of being led by fear. Anxiety prevents achievement. Any of y'all ever just been so anxious sometimes? I've been so anxious before. I was like stressed when I was leaving the church, stressed about what I was going to do. God miraculously came in and provided me with an awesome job to where I'm at now. And it blew me away, really. My wife's like, oh, you know, she's praying for me and letting me know how it's going to go. And I'm thinking, okay, but it went that way. So she was right, you know, but, you know, Scripture says be anxious not and all that good stuff. Well, I violated that one again. So there's a reason he tells us to not be anxious and not have fear, because he knows that we're going to have it at times. Here I am. Okay. Yeah, another time that I was anxious, I'll tell you all this story. It was before I got married, which, like I said, I was married 30 years. And my sister's talking to me one day, and I'm stressed out. I'm thinking, you know, I'm in my mid-20s. There's only a 2% chance I'm even in the right state that I'm going to meet the right girl. So I said, if you put all the counties in there, I said, it's even a worse percentage than that, I'm sure, and all that stuff. And so she prayed and did her sisterly stuff and loved me and told me and encouraged me and prayed for me. But like I said, I felt like I only had a 2% chance to even find the right woman. 6 months later, I met her. 6 months later, I proposed. About a year later, we were married. And I'm like, you know, God wants to remind all of us that whatever that percentage looks like in your life, whatever the numbers look like, I like looking at numbers, but whatever the numbers look like, he can come in and defeat those numbers. He can do it supernaturally. You know, when you tithe, you give, and God says he'll be a debtor to no man, he wants to come back and just bless us and make us go, oh, how'd that happen? Ooh, pick me, I know the answer. God is God. One answer I can get right. Think of the potential with a mind that's free of fear. My goal is to be free of fear and to be able to go through life and not be scared and not be worried about losing this or this going on. We can have lots of accomplishments of focused thinking. Have y'all probably heard before that faith and fear are opposites? You know, I think there's 365 or something like that, fear knots in the Bible. I said, man, that's one for every day, right? So he wants to get that across to us to not be fearful. Faith brings salvation, which I'm very grateful for. It brings security, and it brings peace. I know, man, I tell you what, just knowing that we're in the kingdom is such an exciting thing to me. Those of us that have gone before us that we know had their hearts right with the Lord, that's just exciting. I don't know what's going to be in there. You hear everybody speculate. I just know it's going to be awesome. I'm going to get to be with the King of Kings, and everybody that accepted the Lord ahead of me, they're going to be there. A peaceful mind is a powerful mind. Well, we know we want the power. We know the song. We got the power, so we want to have it. Faith drives away fear, placing everything within our reach. That's in Mark 9:23 and Hebrews 11:1. There's a guy named V. Raymond Edmonds says, faith is dead to doubts, dumb to discouragement, blind to impossibilities, knows nothing but success. I got to rechannel my mind to think I know nothing but success. Success. God wants us to know that he wants us to be successful. I never really thought that growing up, that he really wanted me to be successful or that he was with me. I can look back and know that he was with me and spared me from a lot of other things that could have happened. Our siblings were split up in different states at times. There's five of us, so there's four more of them. My older brother, two older sisters, you know, the older brother that gets me beat up a lot, and the two sisters, and then a younger sister. And we were split up sometimes in different states. And over the year, you know, over time, we ended up all migrating back here, ended up with grandma, ended up in the area, and we all live in a 20-mile radius as we lived for a long, long time, and we're all very close. I'm very thankful for that because all siblings aren't very close. You know, and you hear people say that, you're like, oh, man, I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful to the Lord for that. So my second point is we must forgive instead of fume. So instead of being, forgive instead of being really mad, right, being ticked off. Ticked off just didn't start with an F to go with forgive there, so I put the other. And like I said, I used to not think that way. I harbored a lot of unforgiveness, felt that in my heart. You know what? I'll say this because it may apply to somebody here, but a friend of mine, he was a pastor. He's a licensed therapist. Go figure, right? And he asked me when I was talking to him one day, he said, do you feel like that guy ruined part of your life? I said, absolutely. And then we talked for a while. He said, do you feel like you're still letting him ruin your life? I was like, I think he turned the tables on me. So I was like, yeah, I guess I am. I didn't know where he was, but that day, something broke and something changed where I could start saying his name and start praying and forgive him and move on. It's hard to move on sometimes. I want to encourage you, if you're in a hard place, to move on. God wants to help and help us to get through it. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Man, I have to remember that a lot, that God's forgiven me for everything, you know, and so I need to try to forgive other people as well. We can harbor it for a lifetime. If any of y'all like me and you harbored it a long time, I think it's very unhealthy. It causes a lot of things to our body nowadays, and God wants us to be able to move on. Amen? How do we handle bitterness, wrath, anger, malice? We must ask God for help. Like I said, I jokingly said, I used to hear people say that over the years, and it bothered me, you know, because to me it was like a religious answer. Just let it go. You're like, oh, I'm all better now. Thank you for that revelation. I'm good now. I just could not just let it go. It just wasn't in the... God could have delivered me, but it just didn't happen at that time because I wasn't ready. But we're able to let it go over time sometime. Quicker the better. I like the quick plan, you know, to get through it and be able to move on and be a blessing to others. So we must ask God for help. These hindrances to power, you know, we want to eliminate them. We want to eliminate all hindrances to power. Anger is the roadblock to accomplishments. Consider what Cain did to Abel. Well, we all know Cain got jealous. Cain killed Abel. Cain was thinking of Cain, and we have a society now that think of themselves, right? So we must think of those good things. Anger robs us of power to bless others. You know, I think even if we're in a bad state, we're still able to maybe still bless people. But think of the magnitude that we can bless people if we're really walking in total freedom. You know, like somebody that doesn't even believe can say something, read something from the Bible because it's the Word, right? And it can penetrate your hearts. But somebody who's just really anointed and walking with God and able to the Holy Spirit to flow through him or her, I believe that you can be more effective. Amen. Anger stifles Christian fellowship and service. Forgiveness is the antidote to anger. It says, be ye kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Forgiving one another. That's not always easy to do. I think just like Sarah talking about Thanksgiving, sometimes you're like, man, I got to see them again. They're the ones that caused me all my headaches as a kid growing up. You know what's funny is, it's not really related to the message, by the way, but every year we'd have a family reunion, and I don't drink, but they all drank. You know, we'd go to wherever they all were, and like midway through it, you know, they're all like, so I'm like, y'all ready for some football now? I looked so athletic with those guys trying to tackle me, man. They were falling all over the place. They go, golly, you ought to play for a team. You're really good, man. They had no idea the strategy I had. Don't get hurt that way if they can't tackle you, right? So we know what we want for forgiveness. Forgive one another. Forgiveness opens the channels to power. My last point is we must release instead of retain. That's in 1 Peter 5:7. We can trust our cares to Christ and be free. I want to encourage you about trusting your cares to Christ. It's not always the same to trust them to people. I think it's important to have people in your corner that you can talk to, that can mentor you, that can step into your lives, that can speak into your lives. And we know who they are, but man, releasing your cares to the Lord and all that, whatever is in our head sometimes, you know, that weighs us down, that, you know, that just caused fatigue. It wore me out thinking about things all the time, you know, worrying about things. Makes you very tired. Sometimes it costs you sleep and costs you a lot of other things. Holding on to your cares makes us weak and weary. Y'all ever like heard the fishing of catch and release? You catch the fish, but then you throw it back. You catch it, you throw it back. You're like, no trophies to take home. Catch it and throw it back. It's just for the fun of it. Well, if we catch something that's wrong that we shouldn't have, God wants us to get rid of it immediately. He wants catch and release. He wants, you know, and my goal in my mind is just, if I can, and this is what I pray regularly, you know, to get my spirit man filled properly, which is through messages on Sunday, which is me studying all these other things that we know to do, to properly feed my spirit man. I think if I'm feeding that properly, then my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, I believe it's going to overflow in that. That way, when something happens that's bad, I don't react like the old way because my spirit man in my mind is training me so much because of the good stuff that we should take in that then our soul goes, we can quickly recognize and go, okay, that's a trap from the enemy. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go back there anymore. So he wants us to be able to catch and release. Releasing our cares to Christ sets us free. I want to share a story about my nephew. And really, this is just the greatness and the love of God and how great he is, really. But I had a nephew that didn't take care of himself, was very unhealthy, diabetic, and you know, he lost some of his foot, and he loses his leg, and then he just continued with his lifestyle to where it was really bad. And throughout the years, I would talk to him about Christ, which has been over a period of time, a lot of years. And he'd say, you know what, Uncle David? He says, I have no interest. And he knew his parents believed and wanted him in the kingdom. He goes, I don't care if I die. He says, I'm not going to use it as a rabbit's foot to make it in there. I just don't want any of it. So I'd bring it up throughout the years. Occasionally, it'd come up as a topic, and he would stand his ground about not wanting it as a rabbit's foot, and no, thank you. So he's in the hospital looked like he's nearing death, and I talked to him once or twice again, and he's like, no, I have no interest. He went into a coma, and my sister and I are sitting there on the edge of the bed there, and I walk in, and I'm talking to him, and I'm holding his hand, and I said, his name was Timmy. I said, Timmy, if you can hear me, it's Uncle David. I said, can you hear me? I said, if you can, squeeze my hands once. He squeezes it. I asked him something where he could answer once for yes, two for no. So he answers a couple questions. I said, son, this is your last shot at entering the kingdom. I said, if you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I said, squeeze my hands once. And my sister looks at me because he goes, and I ask him something else, and he's going. And I'm like, you know, you just want to cry. And then I talked to him a little bit, and soon after that, he passed away. It's like, what a miracle, right? I highly recommend coming into the kingdom prior to that. You know, it's like, wow. You know, and there are deathbed repentances, because we know the guy on the cross, you know, Jesus said, from this day forward, you'll be remembered in paradise. So that was a deathbed repentance. So he had a deathbed repentance and, you know, just had a hardened heart and didn't want to let things go that bothered him. And God wants us to have a carefree mind and not dwell and not have these things harbor in our heart and walk around with pain like that. We have the option of releasing our cares. God loves us. Christ died for us. The cross proves the caring love. So I just want to, as I get ready to close with this conclusion, God's power can flow through us to others. You know, we can even be praying for others to flow through them. Sometimes they're receptive to certain people, certain other people, maybe not you or me, or could be a different family member. But God wants the power to flow through you. He wants us to be trusting, forgiving, and releasing our cares. That way we have the power to walk an upright life. So I just want to encourage you, if your mind is boggled, we're going to have a little bit of ministry time up here today. So the prayer team will come up here. If there's anybody that wants to give their heart to the Lord, to Jesus Christ today, I would highly recommend that you don't wait. You know, it's risky to wait. You never know what can happen in life. So I want to encourage you to give your heart to the Lord. If you need prayer for anything that's weighing on your mind or anything else, God wants you to know that today's the day, and, you know, he can completely set you free. Amen.